It is 7:31. Time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Andy Stevenson. He is a researcher on the book Black Box Voting, and he is also a candidate for Secretary of State for Washington. Andy, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's start out, and let me ask you, actually, why are you running for Secretary of State?
Secretary of State is the one person in the state of Washington who directly impacts voting systems, voting regulations, et cetera, those types of things.
Okay, and obviously through your work at Black Box Voting, you feel there needs to be some adjustments made there for voting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the current system that's in place, there's some serious problems. You were at the press conference last week when we disclosed that there's some criminal elements that are not currently criminal, but they've got some stuff, you know, in their backgrounds that make it a real issue for me that they're handling our votes and dealing with the voting machines now currently in use in King County and three other counties in the state.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Was a pretty amazing press conference. Let's talk about some of the things you guys brought out in that press conference. As if the info that already previously came out in Black Box Voting wasn't amazing enough. What were some of the highlights that you remember from the press conference?
Well, currently, you know, most people believe that when you get your absentee ballot, that it's being sent to you from the county, and that when you send it back in, that it's going back to the county. In point of fact, it's going to a private for-profit company that basically has a couple of ex-felons running it. And one of them, in particular, Mr. Jeffrey Dean, this gentleman was spent time in the Washington correctional facilities for 23 counts of embezzlement. He embezzled money from a large law firm here in Seattle by installing a back door into their computer accounting software. And it was only by chance that the embezzlement was found because the two little old lady bookkeepers weren't quite sure about the computer system. So they kept a manual handset of books. And because they were keeping that manual handset of books, they were able to find the embezzlement that was going on within the firm.
And that happened over a fairly long period of time,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. It sure did.
And this person, Jeffrey Dean, is now in charge of what?
He started a company right out of prison. He had $87 in his pocket when he walked out of the correctional facilities, and he and another gentleman, John Elder, were hired by PSI Group. That was part of their release plan. And then he started a company called Spectrum Printing, which prints all the optical scan ballots and ballots for basically Diebold nationwide. That was subsequently bought out by Diebold Corporation. It is now a subsidiary of Diebold Corporation. And we recently discovered that he's also working on the software that runs the optical scan readers that we're using here in King County. So, he knows how to put all the back doors in the programming. So now we've got him programming the optical scan machines as well.
Yeah, you had brought up at the press conference $87 in his pocket, and he had a sizable debt too, I understand.
Yeah, it was a little, well over $300,000. It was almost $400,000 in restitution that he was required to pay by the court.
But within a short period of time, he all of a sudden has a very nice printing company.
Right, a very very nice printing company with some high tech, expensive equipment printing these ballots and such.
So any clues into how he turned that incredible debt into a very nice printing company?
No, but I'd sure like to know.
I wanted to, I have here in front of me, you guys handed out a nice packet on at your press conference. One of the findings, again, this is Jeffrey Dean, who is in charge of printing our ballots, is that correct?
Right.
One of the findings from, looks like we have our other guest, just a second. I'm looking at a document called Superior Court of Washington for King County, and they're talking about his previous experience with that law firm. Defendants thefts occurred over a 2.5-year period of time. There were multiple incidents, more than the standard range can account for. The actual monetary loss was substantially greater than typical for the offense. Cover-up involved a high degree of sophistication and planning in the use and alteration of records in the computerized accounting system that the defendant maintained for the victim, this being the law firm. And the defendant used his position of trust and fiduciary responsibility as a computer systems and accounting consultant for the victim to facilitate the commission of the offenses. This is the guy who's in charge of printing our ballots.
That'd be him.
That's a pretty scary prospect. We are joined by Bev Harris, who is author of Black Box Voting. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
So we were just talking about your guys' press conference. It happened on, Tuesday of this week.
Right.
And talking about Jeffrey Dean, amazing fellow.
Yeah, we keep finding more things that he's had his fingers in.
Literally and figuratively.
So what prompted you to do your trip up to Canada? You just recently made a trip and found out about a bunch of this information. What started this? What started the latest wave of investigations?
Well, I had been looking into the corporate history of Diebold originally, but I realized it had fairly recently bought a firm that had come out of Canada. And as I looked into that, I saw, you know, in there, well, that the firm was founded by three felons. So we really couldn't get any more information from here in the United States, and so we thought we'd go up there and check out the criminal courts building and the library and make some visits to some folks who've worked there, and that's what we did.
And I want to get back, the printing company that this guy's in charge of, is that in Canada or is that here in the U.S.?
Well, there's branches both places, but it's primarily here in the United States. There's actually two guys, and one was an embezzler, one was a cocaine trafficker. The guy that was the cocaine trafficker is still there running that division, and the one that was the embezzler, Diebold kept him on as a consultant after they acquired the business. He was in a more sensitive situation because he was actually in King County actually programming the tabulator for our votes and programming the voter registration system. He also ran the printing division, but that has now been taken over by the other fella. And they're not just printing ballots. They're also subbing out the processing of our absentee ballots. You see, so we, you know, send in an absentee ballot, and it goes basically to the subcontractor that they select and not necessarily straight to the elections division so they can count it.
So it sounds like there's numerous places where there's questionable dealings within our system. I mean,
well, yeah, what I've come at this problem as is not like it's a computer problem with computerized voting, but like it's an accounting problem. And so we're looking at it's bookkeeping. You know, counting votes is bookkeeping. And so when you're bookkeeping, you want to make sure that, you know, none of the beans fall out of the bin, you know, as they're going on the way. And so what we look for is, okay, with each system we have, with an absentee system, for example, you know, you mail the ballots out. Do they get to the voters? Okay, they get to the voters. Some voters fill them out, send them back. Do they get back in? Do we count them correctly? Now, the most high-risk situation for that particular system is when the ballots come back in, if you can intercept them in the mail room and disappear some of them, nobody will ever know because nobody has a way of knowing who sent their ballot back in. And so that could be done with strategic precincts, and it would be devastating. So we were stunned, literally stunned. And by the way, this is Andy that found these latest two guys that have had a prison record. But we were stunned to find out that these guys, the first job they got out of prison was to go work for this PSI group, which had the contract for King County to sort outgoing ballots, and now it sorts the incoming ballots too. And the incoming ballots is the most high-risk attack point there is for absentee ballots. There's that, with the punch cards. Now, the company that we're talking about prints punch cards. When you print a punch card, you have a die cut. In other words, and it will either cut it cleanly, or it will cut it in a way to produce a hanging chad, or maybe it won't dislodge at all unless you sort of tear it. Again, the high risk attack point for a punch card is the printing. So now we've got a convicted felon in the printing, two convicted felons hired by the company that is at the highest risk attack point for absentees, and an embezzler who's actually at the highest risk attack point for for polling place votes, which is the central tabulation. And we found this to be a bit of a concern. So what we have been doing, and Andy is so good at, much better than me. I'm fairly good at researching and analyzing, but he's very good at getting people to talk. And so we've been, the next step is shoe leather. You go out there and talk to people.
Yeah, shoe leather is right.
So, and my understanding is, as well, with the absentee ballots, I had seen after this last election that they've predicted that absentee voting is the fastest growing sector within voting. It's supposed to almost dwarf people walking in and doing it live, in the near future.
It already is. I think in Snohomish County, I think we're up to 2/3 absentee. And, they're doing a few things about this. They're trying to get us all to go to early voting on touch screens. They want to try to go toward internet voting instead of absentee. And both of those are very unauditable. And then the absentee system itself is. And another thing people don't realize, they'll say, well, I don't want to vote on one of these new touch screens, so what I'll do is vote absentee because there's paper. What they don't realize is that paper is counted by an optical scan machine. And the optical scan machine is another point where we found anomalies. And by the way, the fellow who had 23 counts of embezzlement, one of the last things he did was work on the reprogramming of the optical scan system used in 37 states. Now, you see, the optical scan, you run a ballot through and it's supposed to count the mark. We don't hand count those ballots. We don't hand count the incoming absentees either. We just run them through a machine. And if the machine is programmed incorrectly, it's going to count incorrectly. And the only time they ever look at that is if there's a really, really close recount.
But it can be manipulated enough that it doesn't trigger a recount. It can be so subtle that everything looks fine when there really is a problem. And there's no way of knowing. And, I don't know if a lot of the listeners are aware of the problems with the GEMS database, which is where the votes are, basically tabulated. And there's some problems in that that we've also found within King County.
Right. In fact, I apologize if I repeat anything that you said, but I suppose it bears repeating because it's important. Literally, the fellow who had the background in computer embezzlement was given the key to the computer room, 24-hour access, and the passcode for the central tabulator and the voter registration system. And this was for 2 years.
This gentleman was given a key when Key County employees had no access to the computer room.
And who is this gentleman?
Not at liberty to say.
Okay.
The embezzler we can say.
The embezzler we can say. That'd be Mr. Dean.
Okay, Jeffrey Dean.
Right, but some Key County employees who, you would think would have the access to the computer room and didn't have the unfettered access that Mr. Dean did.
So what is being done to correct this? Is there some investigation at county, state, federal, any level?
No. In fact, we're stonewalled at every turn by state officials. To date, I don't think we have gotten an accounting of what is actually certified for use in the state of Washington.
Right.
David Elliott, who's the state director of elections, for some reason, he was the gentleman that was tasked. He was on the board of NASIT, which is the organization that's tasked with approving software and testing it and making sure that it's doing what they say it does. But Mr. Elliott, despite the fact that he was on this board, can't provide us with any NASIT certification numbers and tell us what's currently certified for the state of Washington. He has really no clue. He's clueless.
Well, we finally got, after great, you know, gymnastics with him, we got, and I can't tell you how much we had to go through, we finally got a list of things that were certified up until June, but he said he couldn't tell us if anything was certified since June. However, at the same time, we have something from Dean Logan, who runs King County, saying that we just certified something in August. And I guess I can't understand how you can state certify something in August. Now, it's confusing. In Washington, you cannot certify something unless it's nationally certified. He can't, what we have not been able to get is the nationally certified numbers. And yet, the Washington state certified something at the state level in August. But they can't tell us if anything was certified nationally recently. So, and it looks like, by the way, that they have been using things that are absolutely not certified. And what we got from Mr. Elliott was the most recent certification, which was in June. And what's been used in King County in the last two elections was not certified on there. And so he hand wrote it in pen, you know, kind of at an angle, and just said, oh, this is certified. But it's not, and we've checked with... We actually had to go to the state of California to find out if it had ever been certified, and it has not been.
Right, right. In fact, California, they had a certification meeting the same day that we were holding our press conference, and I believe it was 17 counties that they audited in California, and 17 of those 17 counties had unapproved software in their machines.
Right. What California is doing is getting to the bottom of this. What we're doing is covering it up. In California, what they did was they commissioned an audit. They found out that 100% of the counties they looked at used unauthorized software. So what they did was they opened it out, and they are now auditing the entire state and all manufacturers. What we're doing here is saying, don't worry about it, and we're not going to give you the numbers, and it's none of your business whether it's certified. And so, of course, what we have decided to do is go find out more.
Yes, exactly. More shoe leather.
Now, Sam Reed had a press conference, actually the same day that you guys did. Is he addressing this problem? He would be the Secretary of State and the person in charge of dealing with this, wouldn't he?
I would call it a knee-jerk reaction. Mr. Reed, I think, is bowing to political pressure at this point. He was told in a meeting two or three weeks ago, and I can't remember the senator's name because I wasn't in the meeting, but I heard this secondhand, Mr. Elliott was actually told by one of the senators that Washington would have a paper ballot or a paper trail, and it's real important for people to get this in their mind. We don't want a paper trail. We don't want a receipt. We don't want whatever else they call it. We want a paper ballot because a ballot has a legal and intrinsic meaning to it. But Mr. Elliott was told point blank that, yes, Mr. Elliott, we will have a paper trail in the state of Washington. My constituents expect it, and I'm not going to lose my job over it. So I think at this point Mr. Reed is bowing to political pressure and trying to take some of the heat off of himself.
But he's not doing it until 2006. And they put what we call a weasel clause into their bill, which will allow them to actually not have a paper ballot, but go to cryptography if they wish. Now, this is really going to be something we need to look at. Cryptography comes from Bellevue. It comes from a company called Vote Here. The chairman of the board of Vote Here is our former Secretary of State, Ralph Monroe. We don't want cryptography. We want a paper ballot that is audited.
Absolutely.
Now, again, go into why a paper ballot versus a paper trail. Wouldn't a paper trail give you info you needed?
Well, again, a paper ballot has a legal meaning to it, in my mind. I mean, you know, a ballot is what we've used for 200 years in this country. We haven't had a paper trail for 200 years. We've had a paper ballot. And I think it is important that we insist that we have a paper ballot. Nothing more, nothing less. Paper ballot is, and if the touchscreens print a paper ballot, great, no problem, because that can be audited. They're kept. It's a legal record. Anything less is unacceptable.
Yeah, there's four words: voter verified, paper ballot. And the reason is because they weasel out of everything. If you say paper trail, then they'll say, well, you know, the machine can print us a facsimile of a ballot. That's a paper trail. Well, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a paper ballot that we as voters look at and verify when we're still at the polling place and say, yes, this is how I voted, and put it in a ballot box. When you take out voter verified, then they come back to this, well, you know, later after the fact, when you go home, we can print a facsimile. And again, that's not what we're looking at.
Right, because the machine is only going to print what was already processed through the machine. And if it's been processed wrong, it's going to print up the wrong information. So, you know, if I want to be able to look at that ballot and say, yes, this is actually who I voted for, and put it into the ballot box.
Another thing they do with paper trail is there's a company that wants to print just a barcode and hand us a receipt with a barcode on it. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't read barcode. And, you know,
were you out of school that day?
I guess so. And so, you know, basically, we all understand, everybody in America has an understanding what a ballot is. Apparently, there's many different ways you can define a trail.
Yes.
Breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs.
Talk about how your breaking this information has been received both in the media and by the very companies you've been questioning.
Well, it's been somewhat squashed in the Seattle media, and this is really inappropriate. In fact, I think it is time that both the Seattle Times and the Seattle Post-Intelligencer assign an investigative reporter to this who will actually investigate. We would be happy to give them the documents, and I'm talking documents. I'm not talking about just writing an essay for them. I'm talking about, let's come look at the Department of Corrections documents and start interviewing some people. There's no reason that this should just be two citizens who are doing this. As far as Diebold, they immediately came out, and typical for this company, they told AP that this Jeffrey Dean, embezzler, they stopped working for them as soon as they took over. Well, not quite. We have an internal memo, of course, in which Diebold themselves welcomes Jeffrey Dean, said they really appreciated all he's done for the voting system, and they look forward to working with him for the next year as a consultant. And I have one set of documents that indicate that he was paid $144,000 by them as a consultant. Now, this may be part of a buyout of a previous business or some other kind of a deal, you know, because in corporate work you do a lot of redefining things. But there's no doubt that he continued in some capacity. And also, Diebold officially took the company over in January 2002, but it started doing work with the company in September 2001. And the reason for that, now this is very important, because from September, October, November 2001, we can document that Mr. Dean was actively programming the machines. What happened is the company Global Election Systems that Diebold bought ran out of money, and yet they had 500 machines that they had sold and promised people. And so Diebold stepped in and built those machines for them. And so during the time that Diebold was actually building machines, Jeffrey Dean was actually programming. I don't know. There's been this kind of, you know, let's hurry off and shuffle this under the rug and look the other direction, but it's not going to go away. We've got, and understand something. This is just how many people we found had criminal records before the courthouse closed that day. We're not done yet.
Right. If we'd had more time that wonderful Friday afternoon, we would have been digging a lot deeper and come back with a lot more than what we did. And we did come back with quite a bit.
And this is, you said in your press conference that if the news media was doing their job, they should be digging at this as well.
Oh, absolutely. We as private citizens should not be having to go out and use our own time and resources to dig this stuff up. If we had a media that was worth its salt, they would be finding this stuff and digging it up instead.
The documents you have dug up can currently be found on the Black Box Voting .org site, is that correct?
Some of them, yeah. We got about 200 pages of documents, of original documents, and we put, I think, about 27 pages into some PDF forms at the blackboxvoting.org website. So you can scroll down and you can click those. There's actually two sets of documents. One is photocopies of documents, and the other is called the press conference summary. And it also, that one includes about 20 or 30 memos that show, you know, there's the two sides of the equation. The one is, well, we've got these guys, they're bad actors. And the other is, did they do anything for the company? The memos demonstrate clearly they were right in the bowels of the company doing programming.
Right.
And then another thing that's at your site is the emails that were internal Diebold emails. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I refer to as memos. They're actually probably more accurately referred to as emails.
As emails, yeah. And there, also the press stuff is at well at my site as well, andystevenson.com. And that's Stevenson with a P-H. Everybody spells it with a V.
And S-O-N.
S-O-N.
Stevenson.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Very good. We just have a few minutes left, so want you to talk about what you would like listeners to do. What kind of support could you use on this?
We need all kinds of things. We need them to get over to blackboxvoting.org. We're going to be putting together about three projects there in the next week or two that are going to be direct action to take back our vote. One of the things that I'm concerned about is the upcoming elections. You know, right. We've got these bills that say in 2004, you know, November 2004 or 2006, we're going to do something. We now know that this system is not trustworthy.
It's broken. If it's not good enough for 2006, it's not good enough for 2004. We need to disinfect the pool right now. Bev, this is funny, an anecdote. Bev used to say, it's time for everybody to get out of the pool. And I've added, so we can disinfect it. So,
yeah. We need to deal with the fact that we've got elections coming up in a matter of weeks. And we cannot possibly redo all the computer programming and audit everything in the state and redo all of the safety procedures and audit the absentee ballots. I mean, we have to basically say, let's come up with some simple, practical ways to make sure that at least this next election, even if it's just a temporary interim measure, that it's trustworthy. Because right now we cannot have confidence in it, especially in the four Diebold counties, but not just that. Snohomish County is using uncertified software too. And they've got Sequoia touchscreens.
Mr. Terwilliger, the director of elections in Snohomish County, admitted, what is it, about 3 weeks ago, Bev, that he had placed an uncertified, one of his programmers had placed an uncertified patch onto the Sequoia machines. Mike Webb really grilled him over that. Apparently it was something to do with a report generation, but we really don't know because they won't tell us what it was that they put on there. You know, they say, oh, well, we put a patch for report generation. Okay, great. But what was that doing? Was it touching the vote totals? Was it not?
Right. And you can't generate a report without going directly into the vote database. Those are our votes. And so to generate a report, what does it do? It goes into the votes and does something to tabulate them.
Right.
So those are some of the things we are going to be really needing to hook up with some legal support here quickly. It may turn into having to go out and try to get some injunctions, you know, emergency injunctions to stop the use of the stuff that is not certified. It's shocking. In California, there's a couple of counties that know they have stuff that cannot be certified now, and they're saying, well, they're going to use it anyway because they think it's safe. This, if you don't know what's on the voting program, you don't know what it's doing. It's not whatsoever safe, and I don't think we can assume it's safe when we now know that it was developed by a company that has had a history of 5 convicted felons. You know, it's like we just don't want to clean up this little turd that's on our front porch.
Yeah.
Yep. Sounds like at least 5 convicted felons. You didn't
well, we haven't even...
Yeah, we haven't finished searching for the rest of them.
All right, so people can connect with you, Bev, through blackboxvoting.org. Is that correct?
Right, on the forums. And andystevenson.com is a place that they can connect with him. And I just got to take my hat off to this guy. He's really been able to help pry loose a lot of information that's been really hard to come by.
All right, well, I want to thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
We've just been talking with Andy Stevenson, who is a researcher with Black Box Voting and also a candidate for Secretary of State of Washington, and Bev Harris, who is author of Black Box Voting.